Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's do it, baby. Mute everybody.
Recording in progress.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. The TMZ of metal is on fire this week over the hot beef between Machine Gun Kelly and Corey Taylor. People are saying it's the saddest beef since Vince Neil versus the aging process. There are no winners. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
The metal blogs are the winners, baby! We got all the traffic. Thank you, MGK. Thank you, Corey Taylor. And thank you, avid listener, for tuning in to another wonderful edition of the Metal Injection Livecast. It's Rob here with Sid.
Hello.
Noah.
Hi.
And 3D, Dangerous Darren Delgado.
Greetings.
And it is a pleasure to be with you here. We are live every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern-ish, to about 7:30 p.m. Eastern-ish. If you're listening live, you can always give us a call. 213-WIDE-NUT. That's 213-943-3688. And if you're not listening live and we say something and you want to contribute, you could always send us some hate mail at hatemail@metalinjection.net. And Chucky B brought it up. The top of the show. I'm very excited about this. I am excited. Well,
I'm very excited about your cutoff sleeves, Rob. Let's talk about it.
It's for the video people. I'm feeling it. This is at the top of my shirt pile, and I'm like, yeah! Time to bring out the guns for the podcast.
The top for the top?
This is why you need to subscribe to our Patreon. You get the video version of the show. And so you get to see me flex my guns.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. $5 a month gets you access to the video versions of the show and 2 bonus episodes a month. And this month, at the top of the month, what do we do at the top of the month? We watched, Out for Justice, right?
Yeah.
Steven Seagal. And it was an
amazing movie, by the way.
Great early 90s action movie. And I think we had a great time adding our layer of commentary to it. You could basically put it on, hang out with us, watching the movie. And also for our mid-month episode, we uploaded our Zoom hang. We had a Zoom hang for our patrons and some Discord users, and it was really, really fun. It was a show and tell where everyone kind of brought a video clip to show and we all kind of talked about it. You can watch that as well. And I'm really excited for what we have coming up on the Patreon at the top of the month. But I'll tell you about that next week.
Are we sharing that? I didn't know. I didn't realize that. Are we sharing the Zoom hang?
Yeah, that was
posted
as the mid-month episode for the Patreon.
I'm sorry. I was in the dark. That's fantastic. I wasn't sure if we just did it and that was the end of it. That's great that it's posted. It was so funny.
Yeah,
it was so good. Let's get to this hot beef.
The hot beef of the week.
I'm hungry.
Rob finally got to be the TMZ of metal, like for real with this.
Finally. It's like it's been so long. So this past weekend in Chicago was Riot Fest, the long awaited Riot Fest. And I believe former Fifth Mike Sean Grezins, he was actually at Riot Fest.
Did you reach out to him for comment on this hot beef?
I'm doubting he went and saw MGK and experienced this live. He was probably at Slipknot, I'm guessing.
Who is MGK for the future listeners? Sorry, Darren.
That's okay.
Well,
for the future listeners, when he no longer has a career and this needs to be explained.
MGK is Machine Gun Kelly. He used to be a rapper, a hip hopper. I really hate that term. It sounds so condescending.
But you want to embrace being TMZ of metal. That is what TMZ would say about a rapper.
And I guess. I'm not sure the full timeline of events, but how I've seen it explained to me is essentially he started shit with Eminem and they had like a rap battle that was incredibly one-sided and Eminem destroyed him. And then he kind of stopped doing rap after that. And so,
wow, that's really what happened.
I'm not sure if that's like, I think that might just be how, like, you know, people.
That's what Eminem says happened.
Was it an in-person rap battle? Is there footage of this rap battle?
No, no, it was just like singles back and forth on radio.
Oh, okay.
It was just
okay.
Like at a party.
But it wasn't like that scene from 8 Mile when they're like at a club.
No. But from what I mean, like, look, MGK is basically a pop star. He's not like a real rapper. So it was incredibly one-sided, you know? And so then I guess he got into acting. He was in that Motley Crue movie. He played Tommy Lee, which, by the way, we did a watch along on our Patreon of that as well.
Yep.
And I guess maybe he was liking the rock attention and he was just exploring his rock side. So he just put out last summer in 2020, a wildly successful pop punk album. It was produced by Travis Barker of Blink-182 fame, the drummer, who is currently dating Kourtney Kardashian. And so, yeah, he put out this pop punk album. And then I guess Corey Taylor, in an interview a few months ago, back in February, kind of threw some shade at...
February is not just a few months ago. I didn't realize this was that long ago. We're always like,
this is some
years.
Aged beef. That's kind.
I want, before you even say what happened, I just want to briefly say what my journey is with the MGK, because I had never heard of him. We're going back years, a few years ago, when he was still a rapper, right? The very first time I heard of Machine Gun Kelly was he was on a WWE pay-per-view. And he was rapping the theme song. And I never, like, who the fuck is this jerk off that they got these terrible, he's like K-Fed, right, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had Kevin Owens come out, and he just powerbombed him through a table.
Yeah.
I was like,
and the whole crowd cheered.
Yeah, whole crowd cheered, and I processed this as, oh, they found some local rapper to take a bump, like he's just some dumb jerk off. And I had no idea that this was like allegedly a legit rapper that the label was sending to WWE to promote his shit. Never thought of him again, except once in a while thinking back to what an awesome powerbomb that was. Look up one day, and this guy's like mega famous. Like, how did this happen? It's like, you know when you go to get some kind of medical procedure, like when I had my colonoscopy, and they give you Demerol, you go out, you're up, and like 8 hours pass. That's how that's my arc of Machine Gun Kelly. I lay down, I look up, 1 second later, this guy is like Justin Bieber. And I have no experience of how it happened in any way. Sorry, Rob. I just wanted
just to say he's like a lanky, skinny, blonde guy.
Is that him behind you there in your
video
background?
Well, is he talented? I mean, I guess like when it comes to his like pop punk, it is what it is. But was he a talented rapper? Did he have any kind of clout?
He's popular.
He's awful.
I listened to the album.
Well, you listened to the rock album. Have you listened
the
to
rock album.
Hip-hop?
No, I never really liked this.
See, I've never even heard any of his hip-hop.
He must have had like a few songs. But now, it's very much pop rap. It's not like, you know what I'm saying?
Like
it's
Juice like World?
I don't even.
Rob.
Juice World's dead. He's an emo rapper. He was an emo rapper.
Now, I know, Rob, I respect your musical knowledge greatly, and I respect your opinion, but when I want to know about punk or pop punk, I want to know what Sid thinks. Sid, is he a good punk, pop punk artist?
I mean, if it's like a dude did a Avril Lavigne covers album, basically.
Yeah, so I listened to the album.
Is it competent in what he's trying to do?
Yeah,
I mean, sure, but he's got a lot of money to make sure that it's competent.
Yeah.
He's got
it's
Travis.
Very Blizzard. Much, exactly.
I detest Travis Barker and Blink-182, but it's a mode of pop punk that sells and is professional. Mm-hmm. So he hired Travis Barker to make it sound like that.
Exactly. There's half of the album essentially sounds like a Blink-182 record, and I'm not saying that as an insult or anything. It's just. That's the sound. And
it is
I'm
what
sure
it
that's
is.
Exactly the sound that he was going for.
Yeah.
The most listened to track on the album is not a punk song. It's essentially a pop song, like a pop hip-hop-y song. The second and third most listened to are very much punk songs. So it kind of goes back to what I was saying a few weeks ago on the show about how rock needs mainstream attention.
Do you remember what you said a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, because I say this all the time.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And so, like, in terms of that, and like, it's exactly what I wanted. It's like, here's this guy who the mainstream press very much write about. He's an influencer. He's dating freaking Megan Fox. Like, they care about their relationship more than they care about his art, you know? But the thing is, he's getting in front of new kids, and new kids are getting into rock music, like, through him. Like, I'm sure even if it's 10%, you know, if like 10% of the people go and then they find Blink-182 and then they go and look and see what bands influence Blink-182 and get into, like, you know, Bad Religion and other punk bands and hardcore bands like NoFX or whatever, and then go further down the rabbit hole, I think it's worth it. And I think it's very important to have artists like that. So I don't want to dismiss MGK. But I will say I've only given it one listen, so I can't write it off completely, but it didn't initially grab me as something that I would want to listen to again.
No, of course not.
So Corey Taylor, back to the drama, back to the beef.
Yes. Okay. February 2021.
So February 2021, he said some shit. And I guess I'll just read the whole quote. I look at some of these bands that sound like this or sound like that or sound like the other guy. And it's just like, I mean, this is the transcription here, you know? So
it doesn't sound as bad when the guy's just saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They obviously listen to two albums that have been out for a minute, but the ones that really frustrate me are the ones that take something that's been around forever and they just basically rework it and call it new, even though it's completely derivative. You know the band they're ripping off. They're not even trying to rip off a bunch of bands. They're ripping off one band. I guess this is kind of like a Greta Van Fleet shade because they sound essentially like a Led Zeppelin cover band.
Do they say it's new? I mean, that's like he's kind of implying that they're stealing it, but maybe
I mean, I think he just means that they're claiming to be an original band and not a cover band.
I see.
Just that in and of itself is like a crime.
Right.
So he continues, they're not even trying to rip off a bunch of bands. They're ripping off one band, but the younger generation picks them up and says, this is our blah, 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 because they're tired of old people telling them the music that came before them was better. And I don't know who's right, but I know both are wrong because we should be encouraging everything. He said, I hate all new rock for the most part. I hate artists who failed in one genre and decided to go to rock. And I think he knows who he is. So that's the slight.
I feel like we talked about that quote when it first came out, before MGK responded.
Mm-hmm. He is self-aware. He says, I'm just as bad. I'm the worst old fogey dude shaking his cane ever, and I hate everything. I hate all new rock. I hate artists who, and I think you know what that says. I'm the worst. I hate everything. And people are used to that with me, though. But I have also encouraged the younger generation to think past the boundaries of what we listen to. Do something that feels fresh. It may not have to sound fresh, but it's got to feel fresh. If it's that, then people are going to treat it as
not
that
fresh.
Man.
Sounds like he's describing a douche.
I mean, he sort of is, isn't he?
Massengill Kelly.
That must be a lyric from one of the Eminem diss tracks, right?
It may not have to sound fresh, but it got to feel fresh. And if it's dead, people are going to treat it as dead. Man.
When I want an authority on blah, 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 I always go to Corey Taylor.
I mean, maybe it does feel fresh to MGK. How does he know? Right?
I haven't seen it. It's new to me.
Yeah. Definitely feels fresh to his fan base.
He's Columbusing pop punk. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, pretty much. But so, I mean, he's not claiming to have invented anything.
Discovery. He's discovered it.
Also, I think there should be something to be said that it's not like he got on this rant out of nowhere. He was likely led to, like, he was asked a leading question to result in this. You know, I think that's something.
Damn reporters. Fucking music journalists, scumbag.
Rob mansplaining journalism to us.
No, I think just when people get mad, like, you know, people get mad at artists for offering their opinion on something, like, who asked you? And it's like, no, actually someone did ask them. That's why they're saying this.
I agree. Oh, sorry, Sid. Go ahead. I agree with that to an extent. There are reporters that goad them into it, but you can also be goaded and refuse to take the cheese out of the mousetrap as well.
Yeah, for sure. He was looking for an excuse to talk some shit, and he talked some shit.
Yes.
The thing thing that I feel like MGK isn't getting enough criticism for, it's not that he's ripping off pop punk. He's ripping off Post Malone's entire fucking career path, both from Texas, both white, both covered in tattoos, both got into hip-hop.
I think MGK is from Cleveland.
I just looked it up, and it said Houston, where he was born in Houston. Maybe he ended up moving to
Cleveland.
Ohio,
yeah.
And then both, like, retroactively tried to, like, reclaim their rock roots. But, like, Post Malone didn't get much shit for that, but MGK is, I guess because he did it second.
Also, Post Malone was in, like, a Asking Alexandria cover band when he was a kid. So
yeah, there you go.
Did anyone ever powerbomb Post Malone through a table?
I think Undertaker actually came out during a Post Malone concert, but he did not chokeslam him or anything.
Uh-huh. He just
did
a little breakdancing?
Yeah, as Undertaker won't do. So in the chat, while we're doing the show live, we do put the video stream up on YouTube so you could watch along and chat with us. Voodoo Chaos chimes in with some context for this Eminem beef. He says, in an interview, MGK said he wanted to date Eminem's daughter. Eminem then mentioned it on a song on his 2018 album. MGK then responded with Rap Devil, a diss track. And then Eminem responded with another diss track called Kill Shot.
How old is Eminem's daughter at this point?
She's an adult. She's like 21. Oh. She has I just actually saw her on like Instagram, which is a very popular Instagram page.
She's got to be more than 21. Wasn't she on his first album came out in like 1997.
Oh yeah, you're right. She's like in her mid-20s or something like that. Yeah, but she's an adult.
That's crazy.
Okay, so back to this feud. Let's get through this. So MGK clearly saw this quote and it stuck with him. And then at Riot Fest in Chicago this weekend, closing the Sunday night, the final night of the show, one stage was MGK. The other stage was Slipknot. They were going on at the exact same time.
Shame on you, Riot Fest.
I don't understand this either. Why? I guess.
Why did they book MGK?
Shows for over a year. People just forgot how to do their job.
Seems like it.
I think also, festivals like to give people choice. Hashtag choices.
I guess they figured there wouldn't be much crossover, so it's not like people would be torn on who to go see.
So I guess this didn't sit well with MGK because a video clip started surfacing, and that's how all of this started rumbling. So let's get to the original source. This is Sid messaged me this, and it was like, I can't wait to talk about this. And this is before it became a whole thing. So here's a clip of MGK. It's basically cell phone footage from his performance.
Wait, did you say cell phone or self own?
Both. Here we go. Do you see it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mother.
What? Like what?
Oh.
I love the little voice affectation. You know what I fucking don't like? Being a 50-fucking-year-old.
Rey Mysterio's like, what the fuck, man? What did I do to you?
He sounds like Steven Seagal off of Justice.
He's after that beef.
You know what I don't like? Being 50 years old. You know what I mean? Maybe I've seen Richie. Everybody seen Corey?
So funny because it's totally a complaint that a 50-year-old would make.
Yeah.
Right?
What can someone explain the Reese's Pieces? Is there like a joke there, or is it just
maybe that's just like leading into the next song? I don't know.
Isn't that not a Slipknot
Reese's Pieces?
That's not a sly Slipknot reference diss or something.
I don't think so.
He's just not good at segues.
Maybe
sounds
saying
like a total non sequitur.
Yeah.
Saying that the masks look like ET and they're gonna follow the Reese's Pieces around. Like,
you're probably giving him way more credit.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm just kidding.
He's just like, enough about 50-year-olds. Let's do something that's relatable to the 15-year-olds in my audience. Candy. So, you guys like candy, right?
And I want to point out, most people did not put it together. Like, people were like, why did MGK randomly call out Slipknot? But you know who put it together? Metalinjection.frickin' net. That's who. Because I remember my gossip.
How about metalinjection.com molding? Did they say anything to say about
it? Not actually.
So
they actually did Corey Taylor's molding in his home and said he was a very nice person.
They made the casts for the masks that they wear.
So I thought this is where the story would end. It's like, okay, great, like one nice little fun little piece of drama.
Wait, did you fan the flame of this drama, Rob?
I mean, I wasn't the only one. Everyone jumped on the story. And that's the thing about this. MGK is so mainstream that every music blog could write about this. And look, we're desperate for things to write about. Let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. And this got a humorously absurd amount of traffic. Like, it's absurd what kind of traffic dumb drama gets compared to, like, you know, something that's actually put an article that requires effort or like good music,
right,
or whatever. So anyway, this was not where the drama ended, because clearly MGK was seeing all these blogs write about it. And I think the kind of consensus was like, what is MGK even starting? Like, you know, why is he picking a fight here? Like, and all this stuff, or like, does he know what he's getting into? Why would he bring this up? So MGK, to set the record straight, writes, Corey did a verse for a song on Tickets to My Downfall. That's the name of his new album. Corey did a verse for a song on my new album. It was fucking terrible, so I didn't use it. He got mad about it and talked shit to a magazine about the same album he was almost on. Y'all's stories are all off. Just admit he's bitter. So that was his addition, which it's like, MGK, thank you so much
yeah,
for continuing this. For continuing,
thank you
the
for
narrative.
Your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service. and so, now, look, at this point, Corey Taylor hasn't said anything. Corey Taylor has basically removed himself from the internet for the most part. He's not as engaged as he was many years ago when he was providing us with endless tweets, giving us endless traffic on topics he chimed in on. But at this point, he felt his name was being dragged through the mud, trying to claim that, you know, he recorded a shitty verse and MGK slighted him, and that's why Corey Taylor was talking all that shit. So Corey Taylor responds, I don't like people airing private shit like a child. So this is all I'll say. I didn't do the track because I don't like when people try to write for me. I said no to them. So without further ado, hashtag receipts. This is all I'm going to say about it. And then he includes two screenshots of two emails back and forth between him and Travis Barker.
Oh, boy.
And so, again, Travis Barker, drummer of Blink-182, producer of Machine Gun Kelly's Pop Punk Reinvention album. So the first email is from Travis to Corey, and Travis says, Yo, Corey, we love it. Peep these notes from Kells, which is his nickname for Machine Gun Kelly.
Can we just say Travis Barker is like 55 years old, right? Something like that.
Is he? No, he's probably in his 40s.
I mean, all right.
He's just like so Hollywood. I don't know. I feel like L.A.
He's 45. He's okay. Very L.A., of course. So 45, that's an L.A. 35.
Kells, yeah.
So peep these notes from Kells. It's super fucking close. This is now.
Wait, could I just really point something out that is only visual, but I can't not point out Noah changed her background to like Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly kissing, but like the weird, like the zoom superimposing of the background was weird, and it made it look like Megan Fox kept sticking her tongue in and out of MGK's mouth. It was really creepy for a few minutes there. All right, just
it
wanted to
like,
point this.
Oh, to me it looks like she's licking Noah.
Now it does.
Like,
yeah.
A certain person at a club that used to come approach your neck and lick it.
Oh, no.
That I can't mention anymore.
No.
She could lick my neck anytime.
Sure. You write a review about
it? Wow.
Okay, so here's MGK's email to Travis that Travis forwarded to Corey Taylor, and it goes, "Yo, Trav, got super inspired again after listening to Corey's vocals on Can't Look Back. Added some guitars over his part so it kicks you in the face right when his voice comes in. One, could you tell him he fucking killed it and I'm stoked and honored he's even on it? What the fuck? Two, I've been watching the news lately about the war and the state of everything, and it made me look at the song a different way. Like soldiers need a song to stay alive to, a song to fight to, keep them going. I added a bridge that makes the last chorus pretty powerful. I think you and him will dig it. Three.
This is from Travis or from?
This is from Kells.
Kells, okay.
I sent Corey an idea for the second half of this verse, and he obviously can say fuck it, but would be sick to see if it inspired anything or if he could try it like that. Four. I laid a demo screamish type track under his first part of the verse that would be so dope to hear in his psychosocial voice. Mind explosion emoji. So he's saying he wants number five. Fuck yeah, tell him he rocks. Pray hands, pray hands.
Rob, so just for clarification, can you read back the first bullet point there? Just so I
could you tell him
No. The way it says it on the page.
Number one, can you tell him?
Sorry, I had to do that joke.
So I want to point out, so Corey Taylor recorded this. Then he decided he wants to make the song more powerful for soldiers that need a song to stay alive to.
In which war? Which war was he referring to?
Spanish Civil War.
Yeah. Also, this is January 2020. So what was going on in January 2020? What war?
I mean, Afghanistan? Yeah. Iraq?
Maybe he just finished watching Lego Star Wars or something.
It's probably closer to the truth.
I feel like he
war
would
on
watch
drugs.
That.
So I don't know, though, also, though, to then send a I'm not sure how common this is, but when you – like, Corey Taylor is, like, an elder to MGK in a sense.
So MGK sent that directly to Corey, or did he send it to Travis and Travis forwarded to Corey?
The latter. Travis forwarded it.
What an idiot.
And so – it seems weird to me to add, it seems like a little like faux pas to ask someone to sing a guest spot on your song exactly like they do on their main gig. That's like its own thing, you know? Mm-hmm. That felt like a little weird to me. And
when was that? Did I miss that? What do you mean?
He said, so number four, I laid a demo screamish type track under his first part of the verse that would be dope to hear in his psychosocial voice. Psychosocial is a Slipknot song.
Oh, okay.
So he's saying he wants him to record the vocal line that MGK sang in the demo,
mm-hmm.
but sing it as his voice in an album that he made a decade ago.
Is that the only song he'd ever used that voice in?
Yeah, that's just the general Corey Taylor voice, you know.
I don't know. Well, either way, Corey Taylor responded, "Hey, man, sorry I missed your call, by the way, last night. I'm on dad hours. Ha ha." So I listened to the ideas, and to be honest, I don't think I'm the right guy for the track. Nothing personal. I just think if this is what MGK is looking for, someone else is the guy to do it. It's all good, and I'm stoked for him. I hope you guys find the right fit for it. Hope you understand, and I wish you guys the best with it. If I can help in any way, let me know. All the best, CT. And then his iPhone signature is sent with the devil's whisper.
You lost me there. I thought that was a very kind and wholesome, polite response.
Honest.
But that's like, isn't that a little two-faced if that was his response on email and then in an interview he shit-talks the guy?
I was thinking that as well. I could see how a year later having this feeling. But what if in the interim he heard MGK shitting on Corey Taylor.
Right.
But did MGK shit on him?
Not publicly, but, you know.
Maybe, like, amongst their peers and stuff. Mm.
Do we know who ended up doing the guest vocals on that track? Did anyone?
I'm not. I don't even know. Let's see if this is an actual song. Oh, it is a song. But it does not look like there are any guest spots.
No. So Corey Taylor should be flattered. He was unreplaceable. They couldn't. They just were like, well, we can't have anyone else guest. It was either Corey or nothing.
So that's that. That's the drama. And here we are. Are we all better for it now that we're all?
I mean, you are.
I mean, I am. Yes, there's been good traffic. People actually curious about this drama, but
I don't know. I think that like Travis Barker kind of played a huge part in like fanning the flames between the two of them. I just don't think it was good that he forwarded that email. It seemed like an email to him, and then he was supposed to take that feedback from Kells and say it in a better way.
Yeah.
CT.
I mean, that if he was like an experienced professional producer, that is what would have happened. But I guess he
right.
just was busy that day. And it's just like, I'm just going to forward this. I'll save some
I know. I was thinking that too. I was thinking that too, Noah and Sid, in the sense of like, man, how lazy of a producer is fucking Travis Barker that he can't even reword an email? Not like lazy. I think that's
just,
too harsh of a term. But like,
I think he's famous. Like, I think, like, Travis Barker would be considered, like, talent. Kells would be considered talent. And CT would be considered talent. And I mean that as, like, a label, you know, like,
yeah,
a, like a job.
Not that they're actually talented.
Don't worry. We didn't think you thought.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's just, like, you can't have talent be the manager slash producer note giver. You know, he just can only think in one way. And he probably just didn't even want to deal with having to give CT those notes. That he just was like, okay, here you go. And he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Meanwhile, if it was like Rick Rubin, he would have read that email and then just sent Corey Taylor like three different books that when Corey Taylor read them, he would have somehow magically just come to the same conclusions that MGK emailed in the first place, but felt like they were his ideas.
Yeah.
Travis Barker was like, no, I'll just for this, whatever.
Well, if we could just put a bow on this, Rob, I wanted to give you some advice because I feel that Metal Injection would do a lot better if you stopped covering Slipknot and you would just cover more completely obscure suburban grindcore bands on Bandcamp with eight listeners. I just think it's just something to think about. Yeah, it's something to think about.
But I mean, that's where the Post Malones and MGKs come from, is bands like that. So. You might get in on the ground floor of something really big.
Yeah, but then you have to stop. Once it becomes big, you have to stop covering it. If you want to have a successful business.
Yeah, like once they've graduated now to other blogs, like we don't have to cover them anymore.
Right,
yeah.
Metal is not about popularity, okay? That's just how it is. God, get the point already. Not about hits. Business is not about getting hits, getting clicks. It's not what it's about. You think TMZ goes after clicks?
I'm
not a clue. Libtard?
In change of pace, we could talk about something a little more lighthearted.
That wasn't lighthearted?
That was very juicy.
Yeah.
It was.
Almost like as that, juicy as the kiss that's going on behind me.
Mm. Num, num,
that,
num.
That jus that I had up there before. Where is that? Put that back up.
Wait, where are the old jus you have?
Oh, old jus, just like au jus, but a little less jus.
Well, I want to talk
a little
about
drier.
The former Daniel Bryan in WWE, now going by his real
name, Bryan Danielson.
He's going to be making his AEW wrestling debut tomorrow in Queens.
Oh, I saw that you went to a show.
Oh yeah.
It's
Darren
my background.
And I went, we could talk about
thanks,
that.
Thanks, Duderino.
Darren and I took a little road trip to Newark, New Jersey, to the Prudential Center to watch our first AEW show live, All Elite Wrestling. It was very fun. It was fun hanging out with
Darren
for the night.
Thank you. You too. And also my first wrestling show since 2019. My first show. I've been to baseball games. But I think it was the first event that I did that was indoors since then. I had a little anxiety about it, but it turned out to be fine. You know, the concourse was very spaced out. A good amount of more people than I expected were wearing masks, I would say. Being at a wrestling show, I did not expect that demographic to be particularly concerned with masking up, but there was a good amount of people.
They would just wear like luchador masks. They wouldn't wear face masks.
There was a guy with a luchador mask right near us with his whole nose and mouth out. Like everything else was covered on his face with the whole nose and mouth out. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Kept saying really inappropriate, not inappropriate, but like in that way, but inappropriate to what was going on, chance.
It was funny to be like, oh yeah, there's socially awkward people that come to wrestling shows. I forgot about these socially awkward wrestling fans where it's like they try to make the show about them. Where, look, I mean, I get it. You could see me in the background of Sid's screen trying to make the show about me. But no, I briefly got on TV. See it on my social media.
We know, yeah, because you retweeted every single person who posted about it.
I have to.
No, you were so proud of yourself.
I was more proud that people recognized me. Not that, like, I was like, wow, this person not only saw me, but they had to take a photo and tweet at me that they saw me. Like, that was, what an honor.
I have to say also that I'm in that shot. I don't know, not what Sid's still framed there, but I'm in the shot. Rob,
actually, you can kind of see the end of your mask here in the lower right hand side, I guess.
Yep.
If you follow the trail of the,
I was gonna say, I like Rob was to my right in the picture, he'd be to my left.
My right.
He came across me to go to the aisle to be next to Cody to do his photo op.
Did he push you out of the way? Come on, be honest about it.
He didn't push me.
Was it aggressive?
He didn't push me, but his like body language was the equivalent of pushing through.
It's like during the State of the Union speech when the president comes out and all the Congress people rush to the aisle so they could be in the shot.
I didn't necessarily want to be in the shot anyway. I'm just saying it for the record.
You're there for the love of the game. You're not about the clout.
I had a great time.
I just thought it would be hilarious to be. I was participating. I do want to make clear. I wasn't trying to make it about me. I was
really
acting the role of the fan.
The
saying,
fan who pulls
him.
His mask down for maximum recognition while on camera?
Yes.
Oh.
That was called out. Oh,
there were plenty of people in the shot who had their masks off. All right, buddy.
Leroy called you out, and I actually defended you, I want to say, in our Discord, because Leroy called you out. No mask? You got no mask on there, Rob, buddy, you know? And I said, I can confirm Rob had his mask on 99.9% of the time. He only took it off for that melee that was happening. So he could be on camera without a mask on.
Exactly.
And also in the restaurant, because we were eating. That's the only time I saw you with your mask off.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
There I am. That's Cody Rhodes, I thought.
No, right here.
Oh.
And there's Darren right next to me. There
eclipsed by Rob.
Yeah.
There I am.
What are you saying to him? Like, what are you yelling at him?
Get him. Get him. Get him.
It's so insane that we just bought random seats and these guys just like start. They happen to go down that aisle to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Here's what happened behind the scenes that you didn't know about.
Nope.
Cody realized that a handsome man named Robert Pasbani was in the audience, and he said, "Okay, we got to do something over there. I got to get closer to that guy."
Believe it.
And by the way, from that footage, it really, really looks like I'm totally wrong about what percentage of people were wearing masks in this crowd. Maybe my recollection is awful. Maybe they all took their masks off like Rob did at that instant to be seen on television. But I really
thirsty.
I remember
being able to breathe if they need a little bit of a break from that.
No, I
put
wasn't.
Put your mask on anyway. What do you care?
I wasn't making
any
judgments. I was just saying,
was
just reporting on the amount of people wearing masks in the crowd.
Yeah, all's well that ends well. We didn't get any COVID. Maybe some other people in our section.
I feel great.
I'm glad that you went. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun. And I'm going to go tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I couldn't go to that. I wish that's they're doing a pay-per-view. Like this show, while it was fantastic, it was more of a setup show. And next week, they're doing like a pay-per-view worthy card on just free television. It's like Clash of the Champions in NWA.
And it's going to be with Daniel Bryan's like premiering on AEW. Is
his
that
first
going
match.
To?
He's been in the ring and like cutting promos and stuff and doing angles.
Nice.
He's never, he hasn't had a match yet.
And he got to go back to his actual name?
Yep. Well, he had to, I think. Even if he wanted to take Daniel Bryan, which I don't think he did. He couldn't have anyway.
And so he's been, so Bryan Danielson, he's doing press because of the show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he is perhaps famously a vegan. He initially started a vegan diet, I think for health reasons, because there was something in meat that like some enzyme or something that was negatively affecting him and he had to stop eating it. But then his body recovered from that and he could eat meat again, but ultimately decided to stay vegan for environmental reasons, which I respect. And
he like grows his own vegetables and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very of the earth.
I respect that immensely because I wish I could do it and I'm a weakling. I can't do it. I want to stop eating meat and I just, I'm too addicted to it. I've cut out beef. I've cut out red meat. I'm limited to like,
wait. You cut out beef. We just had a steaming plate of beef earlier in the show, Darren.
Well, pictures of beef are okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't go in my body. I'm not eating those. I think I could eat a picture of beef anyway if I wanted to.
It'll stay in your colon as long as red meat would.
But yeah, chicken, duck, turkey, and I had ostrich the other day.
Goat
is red meat also. Still, I can't eat goat. Goat's my number one favorite meat.
Where did you have ostrich?
They had it in the supermarket and in Stop and Shop.
Wow.
Yeah. I had it before long ago. And it's
Johnny Rockets?
It's weird. It tastes like beef. It tastes like beef, and it's poultry. It tastes exactly like – it's a great beef substitute if you don't want to eat beef.
Mm-hmm. Is it red?
It's reddish. It's not quite as red as beef, but it's way redder than poultry.
It's a bird.
Yeah. I don't know how it works, but it's great. Makes great burgers. Consistency of a beef burger. And I had it long ago. I had it years and years ago. Never saw it again. I would always look in the meat aisle. A little part of me is like, they're going to have ostrich this time. They didn't have it. They finally had it. Made some delicious ostrich burgers.
Nice.
Highly recommend it if you're in the audience listening.
So Bryan Danielson talking about being a vegan in a recent interview, and he says, as I tend towards a vegan diet, and people say all sorts of things about a vegan diet, I find it really fascinating. Nobody really brings this up. If you eat an apple, people say, oh, you kill plants. No, I don't really kill plants. When I eat an apple, the tree doesn't die. Essentially, I'm eating the tree's sperm. I'm eating the sperm. It's tree semen. That's how they reproduce other trees. Most fruit are semen. Real fruit are semen because they contain the seed inside of them. In theory, that has to be planted into the ground for another tree to grow.
I mean, he's not wrong, but you know, the thing people, I guess, object to about drinking or eating semen is not that it's a reproductive organ. It's just that it's slimy, I think. People who do object to it.
Apples we were talking about?
Hmm?
Well, both for me.
I
don't like apples, Sid.
I don't like them apples.
I
don't like you said
apples.
I don't like the nipples.
No, those I love.
Do you like green ones, Nella? You like the sour ones?
Yeah, I only eat Granny Smith. She's the tastiest.
That used to be me, but I have a recommendation. If you like apples, but you only like the green ones, then you want to get
ostrich testicles.
Ha-ha! Never tried that. Honeycrisp apples are red apples that are out of this world. Delicious. Fantastic.
Anyway,
red delicious apples, trash. Don't eat those.
False advertising?
Granny Smith, yes, very false. Granny Smith, straight up trash, awful, no flavor.
I really like yellow delicious apples.
Yeah, those are good. Golden delicious.
Golden delicious.
As they call them. Yeah, they've been called both.
But Honeycrisp, I used to love Honeycrisp. I cannot eat them anymore. I've developed an allergy to certain types of apples.
Whoa.
What happens?
Too much semen?
Just like my my throat just gets very, very scratchy. And it's just, it's not comfortable. So, yeah, I can't really have them anymore. Sad.
I found a picture of ostrich burgers. I'll share it on my as my background. And you can describe it for our audio listeners if you want.
Okay. Looks like a burger patty.
Like a, yeah, it looks kind of more like a buffalo patty.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
patty.
Ha, ha,
ha. You know, I should have had that queued up when I was getting pictures of patties, but come on.
And you just treat it like a regular burger? You put, like, no, the regular condiments? Is there anything unique you do
no,
to size it up?
I made it exactly as my burger recipe when I used beef, and it came out just perfect.
Regular burger recipe or the tushy burgers?
Tushy burgers are hot dogs. I'm glad you remembered that. Tushy burgers are hot dogs split in half, put on a bun, and served as a hamburger.
Okay.
I have no idea why I called them tushy burgers.
I think it's because when you lay the hot dog split in half like that, it sort of looks like a butt crack.
That might have. That seems logical, but I can't vouch for that's how I came up with it in my child mind. I'm not sure. I started making tushy burgers maybe when I was 7. And
well,
it might be too logical for reality. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I thought about it that deeply. And I said, this is a tushy burger, and that might be just be it.
Sounds good to me.
But, yeah, definitely try ostrich burgers or ostrich steak. Fucking great.
I can't. I like, ostrich, I don't know if you remember when I went to that, like, zoo or whatever, and I saw ostrich in real life. They just look so stupid that I have no desire to eat them.
You only want to eat smart animals?
I was going to say, doesn't that make you feel less poignant about eating the flesh of their body?
Well, first of all, I don't eat any, like, exotic meats, and I really only eat meat when I crave it, because it means that my body has some sort of deficiency. But I just like, I try not to think of the animal and the meat.
Sure.
Like it has to be two separate things.
No, I agree with that. That's 100% valid. But what I'm saying is once it does trigger the connection in there, you can justify it by saying this is a profoundly stupid and ugly animal. And therefore I feel much less emotion about stuffing it into my mouth. Theoretically. I get over it easily. Like, you know, when I eat a chicken, you know, I'm like, oh, chickens are cute, but you know what? I'm fucking hungry. Like, it doesn't, it bothers me for a second, and then I'm like, ah, I can't fight this. But ideally, like I've said many times, I would love if science could synthesize meat that tastes like fucking meat, which right now they absolutely cannot do. They have some that are more tolerable than others.
I just had like these like vegan taquitos and was like supposed to be mock chicken, and it was very delicious.
The only
what,
time
all the spices.
What is it exactly?
Probably tofu.
Yeah, probably some like plant protein.
I've never had one. I'm open to suggestions. Even if our audience wants to give me some, I'm happy to try it. I'll report back. But I've never had one that didn't taste planty. And some of them taste planty and okay. You know what I mean? So I might eat them, but not they don't work as a beef substitute or chicken substitute. In my experience, I've never had anything that would say, all right, this is it. Now I'm eating this and not eating chicken anymore. And if they do, believe me, I'll be the first person to never eat meat again because I really don't want to eat meat.
I also, like, where we, like, for the most part, if we can get there, there's a farmer's market, and I buy, like, poultry and stuff from, like, a guy who grows it on, like, a cruelty-free farm and stuff. And he's like, yeah, if you want to come to the farm and see and all that, you're welcome to come. So that makes me feel a little bit better not buying like mass produced tortured animals.
That is better. I mean, ultimately you're still killing the animal to feed yourself, but
I think that's okay. I mean, like, I feel like it's survival.
I'm with you. Like, for me, Noah, like, my issue with eating meat now, beyond the, you know, like, oh, I feel bad for the animal dying. It's the capitalist nature of how the meat is produced. It's like, what are the conditions in which this animal is slaughtered? What's actually in the meat? Like, the mass production of meat is really makes me uncomfortable. I would be more into doing like what you do now, is sort of like a, you know, a farm first where, you know, it's just farm.
Yeah, small business.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that. I think of the two choices, that's by far superior, like to go to a animal friendly, quote unquote, farm and make sure their practices are good. But I think it's sort of like a, just a lesser of two evils thing. And it's much lesser.
Sure.
But I
ultimately we shouldn't be eating meat. I'm at the point now where even though I'm still doing it, I understand why we shouldn't be doing it. Just because
why ultimately we shouldn't be eating meat though? Like what's why?
Okay, it's because it's ruining the environment. The amount of land needed to grow the crops to feed cows to
so that's a part of the industry that you don't agree with.
Well, no, but even humanely raised cows eat up an incredible amount of like natural resources.
Yeah, it's require. Yeah, they require a lot of natural resources to grow them to then kill for us to eat. You know, so it's just not. I don't think it's sustainable in the sense of like we're gonna run out very soon.
There's more. I mean, what are there 8 billion people on the planet now? There's like way more people than when like nature was in balance. You know, millions of years ago when this system first started taking shape. And it's not just like Rob says, not sustainable anymore. It's just evolved to the point where it's
yeah. And I don't think
it's
give COVID a couple more years. We might find that balance again.
You give COVID also, to the cows.
It's not just the meat. It's dairy. Dairy is the second largest contributor to like carbon emissions behind beef. So, which that blew my mind because it was like, I was like, oh, well, you know, I could still have like cookies and whatever. I was like, no, you can't even have milk. Yeah. Damn it.
Dairy is cruel because you're essentially like forcing a female cow to create milk that doesn't go to her children. And then we drink it, which I don't drink milk. I'm trying not to eat cheese or anything, but I don't know.
We're really not supposed to drink milk that's not from human teat, you know? It's like
not
good for you, really.
And then if I could to elaborate on my like capitalism thing, it's now like mass, like we shouldn't have this much cheese, access this much cheese and ice cream and
fuck
all
you.
Of this stuff.
We should all do what Daniel Bryanson is doing and just grow our own shit.
Daniel Bryanson.
Like,
you'll pry that cheese from my cold dead hands, which will probably happen soon because of how much cheese I eat.
Yeah, all the cholesterol from the cheese.
I put cheese on everything. I mean, I've been eating very good for a while. Like, overall, I have my lapses, but cheese is one thing I just don't, you know, I don't fuck with. That's in my diet. I can't remove it.
What cheeses? What cheeses are we like?
What cheeses do
American
I
need? Kick.
Any
I
cheese to, he please.
I go to Pastosa and I get me some of that fresh mozzarella.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Pastosa is the old school Italian like salamaria and meat store and cheese store, and I like Gouda. I like me some Gouda.
Brie.
Not the biggest fan of brie, but if it's like a component,
brie is
in
a special
something,
occasion thing for me.
Or if it's like a cheese plate, I might eat brie with some crackers. You know, I don't know. It's not bad. I'm okay with brie. Oh, Manchego. Jarlsberg is too pungent. I'm not a big. Manchego, that's another big one. It's a very nice, sweet cheese with a little tang to it.
Whenever I hear Jarlsberg now, I just think of that time we had Axel Rosenberg on the show and he described some metal singer's vocals as Jarls. And it just, I can't even take the cheese seriously anymore. It just makes me laugh.
Axel Jarlsenberg.
I want some cheese now.
Yeah, a hanker for a hunk of cheese. Can we play that without getting copyrighted? That's such an old thing.
Probably. I have to assume. It's probably on YouTube.
Rob, you know what I'm talking about?
No, send me
a little cartoon.
No, I'm curious now. What's your diet? So are you like kind of on a not strict vegan diet?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh,
you
no.
You said you don't eat cheese and you don't eat meat unless you have a cream.
I have cream cheese because it's like a staple for my bagel. But I don't drink milk. I haven't drank cow's milk in a very long, like I just, the thought of it just makes me cringe. I really like oat milk. That's been like the best substitute for cow's milk. But I have started to eat meat again a while ago when I was training jujitsu all the time. And I don't know how skinny I got, but I just needed more nourishment. And I was just like, craving it. So I'll eat like fish, chicken. Whenever I do eat red meat, which is only to satiate a craving, I feel sick afterwards, so I try not to eat red meat.
You know, once I stopped eating red meat consistently, I've definitely noticed that as well. Just the meat high after, or the meat hangover after.
I can just feel it in my colon. It's like a stone.
That's how you like feeling things in your colon, Noah.
Not from that direction. Not from like top down. I like it from down up.
Entrance only?
Yeah.
I gotta say, since I cut out meat, I'm like waiting for my birthday to have like a big meat blowout.
Mm.
I'm gonna just try to do a big barbecue, you know, place, or maybe like a nice steakhouse.
Yeah, maybe a Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Though I've been to like the fancy one in Midtown, or like the most famous one in Midtown.
Yeah,
and it was sort of like it felt like going in like the Brazilian steakhouse version of like a Penn Station Wendy's. Like, it felt very skanky.
Yeah. We got to go
to Chow?
Yes, yes.
We got to go to Club
really?
A.
I don't know.
Club
A. It felt a little fast and overwhelming for me. I didn't feel it like it was a Wendy's.
Well, but that's sort of like the general vibe of the Brazilian steakhouse experience. But I don't know. It just, like, the place just felt like the bad parts of Midtown Manhattan.
We went to Fogo de Chow when we went to NAMM in Los Angeles.
That was good.
We did?
Yeah.
I went to one in Puerto Rico. It was amazing.
Oh.
I think it's probably
chow?
Just a location.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Gianna in the chat writes, Sid is ready to be the mozzarella road warrior in the future apocalypse.
Yeah. I'm ready for that. Yeah. If cheese was like the commodity that we all had to fight for, I would, yeah. I'd be on the vehicle in the desert.
What's your favorite
people
cheese,
for cheese,
Sid?
I guess it has to be mozzarella. Because it's the most, like, it's just used in the most different things. But I love brie. I'm good. I'm down with Swiss, like a good ham and Swiss sandwich.
Hold
or
on.
An omelet. Mm.
So you like utility for your cheese?
I mean,
than flavor?
No, I like both, all of it. But mozzarella, I feel, is more prevalent in things I eat than other cheeses.
Okay.
Provolone.
Of course.
So nothing goes on a burger except American cheese for me. No cheddar, nothing, no bullshit, straight up American cheese.
I could do multiple cheeses on a burger, but like a bacon, egg, and cheese, that has to be American cheese.
Mm-hmm. American cheese, underrated. I'll tell you another underrated cheese is Velveeta.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of food snobs. It's good. I don't care. A lot of food snobs like to turn their nose up at Velveeta. That's just, you put that in a classy dish as the cheese, and it's just the perfect, some things you just make. That like a chicken casserole or something just goes perfectly with a Velveeta.
What about a pepper jack?
Also
that's
great.
Good. Yeah, sandwich. Good for sandwiches, pepper jack. Get a little tangy enough to put any like goopy sauce on there or anything like that.
A quesadilla.
I would. You know what? I'd go with queso blanco from the. That's a brand.
Oh.
From the bodega for like a quesadilla, you put that white bodega cheese. That's really good for quesadillas.
Yeah. I'm going to have a quesadilla after this show.
Yeah? From where? You making one or are you going to go get one?
No. There's like a small spot that's like 10 minutes away from us. I forget the name. It's like this little tiny place and it's great. You get like a $6 quesadilla.
There's this taco truck. It's like a mile from me. That's just quesadilla that I've never had such a good quesadilla in my life. It's unreal. It's like an orgasm. Fantastic.
I'm having tortas for dinner.
Mm. Homemade?
No, ordering as well from the best Mexican place in the Ridge.
Give him a plug.
Taqueria El Puente.
I don't know that one.
It's very good. Very close to my apartment also. Very excited to have it so close.
Well, Sid, when you have your quesadilla, you should know that Rod It Through has released their debut album, The Depths. Perhaps you could listen to it. It's available on all major platforms and at rottedthrough.com. The Depths is a Darknet-inspired horror show that gets deliberately heavier the deeper you descend. Peer into the dark web and check out their concept video for the single To Stretch to Tear on YouTube or on rottedthrough.com. Also, you can follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at rottedthrough.
Yeah. Out of the spot, right? I just wanted to say that I think it was tear again. Right?
Yeah, this happened last week.
Yeah,
what did I say?
Tear.
To tear.
To stretch to
tear.
To
stretch to tear.
Do it again.
To stretch to tear on YouTube or rottedthrough.com.
I didn't want to call you out. I just, they might
Did the rep give you shit last week for doing it?
No.
Oh, so then
good people.
No harm, no foul.
Right, I won't mention it again. Sorry. Also, I want to mention our resident MGK expert Voodoo Chaos has a little more input here. He says that Eminem's daughter was underage when MGK said he wanted to date her.
Really?
And then he notes that the time of the emails, when we were asking, like, what war was going on, Voodoo Chaos says that's when Trump bombed the Iranian general in Iraq.
Soleimani.
So he was assuming there would be a war coming. It was not an actual war that he was talking about. He's like, let's time the release of this album for when we fully go to war with Iraq. And then I could say the thing about making this the soundtrack for the soldiers, and maybe we'll get some more mainstream and country radio play as well. But wait, which of Eminem's daughters was he talking about? Because Haley, the one that he mentions in all his albums, is like 26. Mm-hmm. So I don't think MGK was famous enough to... Hmm. What?
Eminem has more than one?
Yeah. So we're sure he was talking about the underage one? All right. Weird.
Well, Eminem has 3 children. I didn't know this.
Are they all the other two come after Haley, right? Is he married?
Oh, one of them is an adopted child.
Oh, I see.
He's married.
Mm-hmm. Does he still have a chance, Noah? You and Eminem, you can make that dream happen.
Noah, would you fuck Eminem?
There was never a dream, and the answer is no.
How about Yokozuna?
What?
I don't know.
What does he have to do with anything?
That's what we used
dead?
To do. We used to
he
do
actually...
the wrestling.
Right. Yeah. I would go on a date with him.
He seemed like a nice guy.
He knows where all the good sushi places are.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But isn't he dead? Isn't Yokozuna dead?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
At many years ago. Probably 10 years ago by now, I would say. Off the top of my head.
Off the top.
So he basically adopted Kim, you know, his first daughter's mother, Kim's sister's daughter he adopted.
Oh, wow.
And then he adopted the child that Kim had between the two marriages she had to Eminem.
Wow.
Did she lose custody or something?
I think she passed away recently, didn't she? From
Kim?
Like a drug overdose.
Did she? Oh, no.
You might want to fact check me, but I think I remember seeing. She's been having an issue with drugs.
That stuns me.
She was hospitalized for a suicide attempt.
She seems like such a together individual, you know?
I mean, well, she was probably depressed because Eminem took away all her fucking kids. All the kids in her family belong to Eminem.
No. He adopted. She's still the mother of that child, but he's the adopted father.
So wait, are they together still?
I don't know if they're still together, but they did get back together. I don't know.
I see another headline brewing.
Well, maybe if Kim Mather says something about Slipknot, then it would be worth writing about. I did tweet earlier today. Where do metal bloggers send thank you flowers to MGK and Corey Taylor for all this traffic that they're gifting us?
Just send them to Travis Barker. He'll forward them to both.
Well, Corey Taylor's wife, Alicia, who follows me, responded.
No.
DM incoming.
And?
Did
she actually give you an address?
No.
That would be amazing if she was like, no, you're actually going to send us flowers now. Thank you.
Sure, I would.
She should just order flowers and then invoice you on Venmo.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to find out her address.
What kind of flowers would you send Corey Taylor?
Three. Like black roses.
Black roses. Venus flytrap.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. That'd be better. I'd send him a small apple tree and just be like, eat the semen.
Oh, inappropriate. Do we want to get to Mel from Chicago's fantastic email?
That's right. Let's do that. Let's rewind it down. Of course, you could send us an email if something show-related happens to you, or if you have a comment on the show, we'd love to hear from you. HateMail@MetalEjection.net. That's the email address. You could send an email or do what Mel did, which is email us a voice memo, and then we could play that. So here is – let me just
– oh, I thought there was a video.
There was, but I think it's better if we play the voicemail first for context.
Yeah. So Megadeth is currently on tour with Lamb of God, Trivium, and Hatebreed. So I'm assuming Mel went to one of those shows.
Robert? Rob, if you're playing it, we can't hear
it. Oh, really?
No, I didn't know if he was... That was his, like, waiting for the audio to load face, or his listening to this, aren't we, face.
Oh.
I thought he was just trying to look pretty.
Well. All
right, here we go.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, guys. It's Mel from Chicago. I hope you guys are doing well. I just wanted to call in and let you guys know that I saw Megadeth a couple weeks ago. I didn't go to see Megadeth. I went to see Lamb of God, Hatebreed, and Trivium, and Megadeth just happened to be there. And I don't know if you guys have talked about this on the show before, but I was completely unaware and taken by surprise with Dave Mustaine's giant bald spot. Like, I was shocked. His hair looked good. It was flowy. It was beautiful. And then he turned around, and it was like a landing pad. It was like a beacon of light that every light in that amphitheater just bounced off of. And I was like, dude. Like, at that point, you just shave your head. But I feel like a lot of Dave Mustaine's ego is attached to his hair, so he would never do that. But I just couldn't believe it. It was also one of the most awkward concert experiences I've had. No, I won't say the most awkward because I've seen him here before. But, they play the first song, and then Dave walks off stage, and the rest of the band walks off stage, and there's just silence. And I'm like, okay, what's happening? Dave walks back up on stage, and he goes, "Something's going on with Kiko. I'll be right back." And he, like, walks away, and then they're gone, and there's silence, and it's awkward. And then they come back, and they play another song. And then Dave walks off again, and the rest of the band walks away. And then Dave walks back. The rest of the band is still gone. And he's, like, saying, like, he does something really weird. It was, like, I was just thinking about something me and some of my old road guys used to talk about, but I can't tell you that. And then he laughs to himself, and then he goes, "I'll be right back." And he walks away, and, like, then everyone comes back and everything's normal. But that was literally, like, the first, like, 20 to 30 minutes of the show, and it was really weird. And I still don't know what was going on. But Megadeth as a band is fucking fantastic, minus Dave Mustaine. Like, his vocals, like, were not good. I attached a video where you can see the Shining Beacon bald spot, but also you can hear, like, in the video he didn't sound that bad. I listened back to it, and usually, like, it's worse in a video, but it sounded better. But, like, in the amphitheater, you could tell they had his vocals cranked, and he was just really, really quiet. Like, I don't know if the throat cancer got to him, or... He's like throat guy now, but yeah, it was just like he didn't sound good at all. But the band is fucking fantastic. Kiko is one of the best live guitar players I've ever seen. And also, I didn't know who he was at the time because I've never been that huge of a Megadeth fan, but apparently they got their old bassist back. And I was like, who is this Iggy Pop looking motherfucker? And I Googled him, and apparently it's their old bassist. So that was cool. Maybe he's not,
James,
like, filming his dick with an iPhone. Who knows? But yeah, it was overall it was a good show, and I was thoroughly entertained by the awkwardness and uncomfortable feeling that Dave Mustaine left me with. But yeah, I just thought I would share my Megadeth experience with you guys. Hope you guys are good. Looking forward to hearing the show this week, and I will talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, you will hear yourself on it.
Yeah. Tremendous contribution.
Here is the video attachments.
Oh, do we get to see the helipad on his head?
Yeah.
Landing?
Allegedly.
I haven't seen this. I heard the voicemail.
They do sound great.
It really does sound good. I mean, this is a cell phone in the audience recording a screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks good, too, that video.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can see it right here.
Oh, come on. That is nothing. I have that.
Yeah, I can't. I feel out of place criticizing anyone else's bald spot. Dave Mustaine could live another 30 years and still have more hair than me. So
I also want to say, like, I'm not in the business of, like, being thoughtful and kind to Dave Mustaine, but I will say, I mean, he's, like, what, 57, 60? Like,
60. He just turned 60.
Yeah.
Barely got any. I mean, he's got a huge mane of hair. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
I sure the both.
He has a receding hairline up front too. We've seen in his.
That's
Patreon.
What happens.
But yeah, no. Ultimately, his hair is great. I want to be clear.
There's plenty of things to pick on there. I'll leave him alone for a second. Although I do appreciate the thought, Mel.
Yes.
And this guy does definitely look like
Iggy Pop. Yeah. Oh, I think Sid froze.
The bassist.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is, yeah.
You were going to say he looks like Iggy Pop, right?
Yeah, like a thicker Iggy Pop.
Oh, yeah, it is a little big there, but trying to grade on a curve for a 60-year-old. You know what I think makes it weird, the bald spot, is that it's up front. It's like just in the front, and it seems like he has a thick head of hair towards the back.
It's no, little... I think when he turns around, you see it, too.
I didn't catch it. I don't know.
I don't see any bald spot. Like, you know how, like, we have the part and it goes all the way back? I have the same thing where it looks like a lightning bolt in the back. If you have your hair a certain way, like when my hair is oily, it doesn't look good at all. It looks probably like what he just needs to wash his hair.
No, maybe you're the Flash. Like a symbol, genetic symbol.
It's been, like, on the back of my head this whole time. I never saw it and didn't know.
Yeah.
You can run at hypersonic speed. Oh, Harry Potter, right. Even better. I'm digging this, though.
Yeah.
It does sound really good.
This is a great video. Thank you, Mel.
I love this solo, too. All right, we're just watching.
I know, we're just watching.
Well, we're not going to get copyright stricken for this, at least. Unless Mel brings a suit against us.
Oh, no.
Why would you do that, Mel? Ah, there it
there,
is.
Here, yeah, there you see a little, that's like a little thinned patch in the back. But, I mean, at 60, yeah, that's like, I can't fault the man.
A thin patch is what Rob also had in high school.
Oh.
What? Paint?
Here.
Oh, a thin patch of, like, beard.
Thin patch on his chin. A chin patch.
A soul patch is called, I think.
Soul patch.
Soul patch.
People all over the world. Soul patch.
Is there, like, a facial hair trend that you regret doing? Oh. Like, you wish that it never happened?
Yes. My entire life since I had facial hair until about 3 years ago.
I remember you used to make your beard really, really thin.
That one was not so bad, I'll say. I feel like that was the one thing I was okay. Like, I had sort of a tasteful chin strap. But there was
the episode title. That's it.
There was other times I looked back at myself and I just my whole mouth just looked like a pussy. It's just a goatee with no, like, side face. It's just a mess. It's a mess. If you see old
people. Were you able to brush the top mustache into the beard under your bottom lip?
Well, a lot of the time I didn't even have a mustache. I just had the goatee part with no mustache, which looks fucking horrible. That's so bad. And I hate all three of you for not telling me how shitty that looked. I don't really. I'm kidding. Not your place to have to do
you with that.
I need to look in a mirror. I don't really blame you for that. I'm just joking. But you don't remember that? It's like every – look at any picture. Like even look through our old live cast pictures on Facebook.
I just remember you with the thin beard and like occasionally like a goatee or something, but it was always like very like thin.
I think once I got married, I got better at looking in the mirror. It wasn't even from her. I think I just absorbed good, you know, better style and and self-corrected. She would never tell me this looks like shit, that looks like shit. It was just I picked it up and learned what looked better.
Well, next time you look like shit, Darren, I will be the first one to tell you.
I'm sure it'll happen very soon.
What about you,
Darren?
Rob?
You look like shit.
No, you're looking at Dave Mustaine's behind me.
That's true.
I'm Rob, there. Was there like a facial hair phase that you had that you wish didn't exist? Rob?
I'm trying to think.
He's trying to think which one of the many he should talk about.
He's trying to think and also wiggling his tongue for people who can't see. That was very weird.
I don't regret anything.
Wow.
Why? What should I regret, Sid? How dare you?
There was like big sideburns situations. I was in like the early BCR days.
Nope. I was very proud of those. Very proud I could grow those.
I thought that just the soul patch when you had that was not a good look for you. Not that it's a bad
thing.
Did
I do that?
Yeah, I think we just saw a video. Maybe it was you interviewing
that guy in the bathroom.
Was it? I think it was
the guy
in the bathroom.
Hour.
I was going to say when
I had the whole goatee. I had the bottom too.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was one of the old metal injection videos we watched when we did the Patreon episode. Now, other than that, I think you have actually very creative and unique facial hair. That's positive throughout your life. That was the only one that stood out to me. I thought maybe it was not. I never like anyone with just a soul patch, like Draymond. It looks just so silly.
He's just trying to attract attention to his piercing over there.
I think generally, Rob, facial hair or anything else, you're like really like a style icon. I think you're
very beautiful.
I think you're good at that. I'm not even joking. I'm not kissing your ass. I'm being totally sincere. It's a sincere compliment. I think you have your own look and you own it. And it's like honestly inspiring. Like, you know, it's hard for people to do that.
It's got that pop filter hair.
Yes. What about you, Sid? I mean, I always remember you with the same facial hair.
Well, I might not have known you yet when I had my most regrettable, and it wasn't following a trend. It was trying to create one. Because this was in my late teens, and already the hairline was sort of receding, so I couldn't do anything interesting with the hair on my head. So I was like, can I do something interesting with my facial hair? And so what I did was I grew like the chin beard, and I shaved the middle of it, so I had like two puffs.
Mm.
I was like, I'll be the guy at all the punk shows with the weird chin puffs. Everybody will know me.
That's like the Minoru Suzuki, but a beard.
It was so bad, or like Road Warrior Hawk.
Oh, chin yeah.
Puff, except on my chin.
Chin puff sounds like a Pokemon. Or the chin puff.
It did not look that cute at all. It was not Pokemon level.
Like Lady of Rage with the Afro Wait. Puff.
Yeah, exactly. They were neither rough nor stuff. But yeah, that was regrettable.
Noah, any regrettable facial hair for you?
I think just whenever I had bangs.
Your
that's
boy
kind
bangs?
Of facial hair, isn't it?
I can't. Your boy bangs. I can't remember you having bangs. Maybe I'm just.
Yeah, I had like two phases of bangs. One with blonde hair and then one with black hair. I just wish I didn't. And brown hair, I guess. I guess I had bangs a couple of times. Didn't get the message.
Might come back again. You never know.
No. I don't have enough hair in the front to do proper, like, thick bangs.
Can you get, like, a merkin? A bangs merkin? Just pin it on to the front?
Is it going to be an actual merkin? Or, like, simulating a merkin?
I mean, that's up to her.
Oh, man. I think it was you, me, and Rob went to see I can't think of the who was the comedian. Oh, Bob Schimmel. We went to see him. I think it was the three of us, and he did a whole bit about.
Yeah,
I was not there.
Oh, okay. He did a whole like 20-minute bit about having cancer, and like having his pubic hair fall out because of chemo, and shopping for a Merkin. And it sounds like
why would he need to bother?
It just sounds like something I'd never want to listen to, and he had me rolling on the floor with that shit.
He was great.
That is so good.
Mine didn't fully fall out. They thinned out enough where it looked like I groom.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, this is great. If only it could stay like this.
You had chemo?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's yeah.
Wow. I thought they just took the tumor out.
The second time.
Oh.
But the first time I had chemo, I had radiation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, Sid.
I think the chin puffs were gone by then, though. It was right after the chin puffs.
Your second Maybe. Thing was, like, I discovered it, right? I was like, hey, Sid, what's that on your back, right? Was that?
No.
You're like,
because it was, like, on the bottom of my butt cheek.
Hey, Sid, what's that on the bottom of your butt cheek?
Rob.
You discovered it.
Who are you remembering wrong that you were looking at their butt cheek and saw a tumor?
Well,
are you thinking
fairness,
of your third butt cheek?
In all fairness, Sid did like to lay on their couch, you know, like on his belly with his butt up like a cherub.
Oh, it's such a tease. Such a little coquettish tease.
Flirt. Butt tumor flirt.
All right.
Can we make that up
about,
sometime? Another one's better.
Let's talk about the Metal Injection Livecast music break. Every week, we each pick a song. It's nice. And we add it to our Spotify playlist, which we're calling the Metal Injection Livecast music break. We don't play the songs on the show anymore because we don't want those copyright strikes. But we do want to tell you about some music that we're enjoying. So I will go first. This week, I picked Holiday by Turnstile. Turnstile is a very hyped hardcore band that I really enjoy that I think are going to be very, very big, and they're already getting bigger and bigger. And this song is very catchy, and it's been stuck in my head all week. So that's my pick. Darren, what did you pick?
I picked Represent by Nas from his first album, 1994, Illmatic. I was in a little old-school hip-hop kind of mood. And yeah, takes you back. Almost 20 years old. Deep cut. You know, I don't really like playing the big hits on this endeavor. I always like trying to pick something people haven't heard. Yeah.
Illmatic is almost 30 years old. That's crazy.
God. 94. That was a real innovative out. Like, you know, I know it seems like there's a lot of stuff that sounds like that now, or you know, that sort of imitated that sound. But that was like a real kind of blended that like boom bap type of shit with sort of lyrics that sound like current, you know, they don't sound dated at all. I would say maybe some of the references are dated, but like the style, you know, you listen to a lot of 94 rappers and like very much of that time, you know, I think he kind of eclipsed that.
For sure.
Agreed. Sid?
I picked the song London Loves by Blur. I was on a road trip this weekend and we were listening to Park Life. Such a fucking great album. And that's one of my favorite songs. But I don't think it was a single.
I really got back into Gorillaz this
also
past
great.
Spring. I should probably dive back into Blur.
Yes.
You know?
I picked a band called Orbit Culture that I just found out about, a Swedish band. I thought I knew them all, but I guess I didn't. So some good Swedish death metal.
Better or worse than Cancel Culture?
Who?
Cancel Culture?
Like the Cancel Culture?
Yeah, is Orbit Culture better or worse than Cancel Culture?
Oh, obviously better than.
Okay, cool.
Unless we're talking about MGK, then he can be canceled.
Sure, yeah, that's fine.
Not for culture war things, just because he sucks.
Yeah.
No, he just gave Rob like his next lunch, you know?
Well,
like,
yeah, and then now his job here is done.
Yes. Exactly.
He could leave this earth.
You never know.
You think there's more lunches in there, Noah?
I think there's a couple more.
Fair enough. All right.
Just wait for that DM.
I'll discuss with the feminist board and see if we can belay the canceling. I'll convene with them once we're done with the show.
Nice.
The Feminazi board, I should say.
Yes.
Okay, I am going to the USA Gymnastics, which is for some reason in Tucson.
Mm-hmm. You're going to as a spectator, or are you going to
be their new team doctor?
Oh.
Oh my God.
I thought you were going
to
go on.
I'm not qualified to be a doctor.
To like to do the pommel horse or something.
No, I'm going to go watch them. Simone Biles is like 15 minutes away from me.
What?
You mean her house?
No, her. I need to go see her.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant she lives there.
What are they doing? Didn't the Olympics just end?
They're performing. So
there's
I don't
a whole,
just relax.
Isn't there a whole season of like gymnastics events and they just, the Olympics is the World Series of it?
Yeah,
and
I figure it like builds up to it, but they get like a few months off after the previous one ends.
Is this a competition or an exhibition?
I think it's an exhibition. I mean, I have no idea how the Olympics work and how gymnastics works. I just want to go see them perform.
That's cool. You'll have to
and
report
that. And I got tickets.
Do you think like gymnastics classes are in your future now that you're inspired by this?
No.
Well, you do have Romanian blood. It's the gymnastics culture over there.
Yeah. Be the next. He could be Noah Komenic.
Mm.
I know where to not, like what to not do. I won't be good at. So I'll just go and spectate.
Mary Lou
floor
Spartan.
Exercise. Say that one more time without me talking over you.
Mary Lou Squirtin. I don't know. I felt like, kind of felt like I should retract it. And
I love
Noah
that
would,
movie.
Noah would get mad at me. I was kind of glad you talked over it.
I'm sorry.
Out. That's okay. But then you made me say it. So you're culpable too now.
No, it's funny.
Okay, good. I don't want to get canceled.
I'll call the feminist board on you.
Damn it. Table's turned.
I feel that's okay because you introduced the squirting thing to the show. I'm calling you out. Right?
Yeah. Okay, but I have to go. That's what I was trying to say.
Get out of here. I do want to talk about the top live cast fans of the week. We love all of our live cast stars and our top live cast fans. You love us just a little more because you throw in a little more on our Patreon. For $10 a month, you get all the $5 tier stuff, which, as I mentioned, two bonus episodes a month, video versions of the show. And if you get a little shout out at the end of the show, which is right now.
I have an idea, Rob. Can I share with you?
Please.
I would say you and I should take turns reading two or three of these names at a time as MGK dunking on Corey Taylor and then throwing in a candy reference at the end.
All right, you go first.
I will go first. Eric, Benjamin, and El Duderino, you're just a bunch of 50-year-olds, and I could really go for a 100 grand bar right now.
All right, so Dana, Croc Destroyer, Sam I Am, I guess I don't want to wear a mask, but I'm going to eat a whatchamacallit right now. Anybody with me?
You know, Mindy Mayer's Keeper, Janda, and especially Shishor Shishushitz. What are you? You're from Iowa? What the hell? Who lives in Iowa? That doesn't make any sense. It's just like a box on the map. No one actually lives there. It's like corn and stuff. Oh, also Tic Tacs.
Somebody do something with Stone Sour and Sour Patch Kids.
Go ahead, Rob. I think you just did it.
Yeah.
I want to, did you say Shishor Shishushitz?
Yes.
That was my last one.
Yo, Chris Station Sensation, a.k.a. Godstopper, you, Dallas, and Robert Vampiro, why don't you suck this? And, hey, anybody want to get an O. Henry bar?
Whatchamacallit.
He did.
I did.
Well, he did whatchamacallit.
Right. Yeah,
where did you leave off? Dallas? What was the next one?
I think he did Rob a Vampire.
Vampire.
So Hugo likes tacos. Landa Danks. LaCroix. Why be dissing my boy Kells and Travis Barker? I totally talk like this in my regular life. Also, Zagnuts.
Now listen up, Doug Pigman, if that's your real name.
Scooby-Doo 182, Douglas Who Are You Levison, and hey, guys, it's Josh. Why don't you shut the hell up, take off those masks, and come meet me and have a Mr. Goodball.
Very nice.
Those are our top Lifecast fans of the week. Thank you for tuning in. Have yourself a Cadbury cream egg if you want it.
Creamy.
Are they our sponsor?
Use promo code LIVECAST to get a free Charleston chew.
Nope.
And no, that's not true.
That's anti-Semitic, bro.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Never mind.
We're out of here. Thank you for tuning in. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Recording stopped.
Magnificent.
Hey, that was great.
So clips, I'm thinking something from the MGK Corey Taylor, obviously, something from the Megadeth, obviously, since we have that cool performance footage.
We didn't really make any jokes during the Megadeth thing. We were just like, no, it looks fine. It sounds great.
Yeah.
There's got to be something interesting. I just feel like it's a waste to not show that footage because it was so cool.
Not dissing him is sort of a story,
yeah,
too. So like that.
Yeah.
Interesting to people who follow us. Like,
hell freezes over. Livecast approves of something Megadeth did.
Or doesn't think something Megadeth did is that bad.
Yeah.
Well, it was about his bald spot, right?
Right. Something about Megadeth is not completely terrible.
Breaking.
breaking his follicles. No.
Yeah.
His split ends.
Okay. Was there anything else?
I guess there's a lot of food talk. Cheese and apples and ostrich.
Maybe he has something about the ostrich stuff. That was okay.
See you guys on Friday.
What time is that?
5:30.
Oh, okay, great.
I think, right?
Cool. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was 5:30.
I don't remember, but I'll take it. That's what I thought it was, so yeah.
Yeah, 5:30.
Is it on the calendar yet?
Yeah, it's in there. 5:30.